Clayton Harris III is on the phone, the candidate for Cook County State's Attorney. Clayton, thanks for joining us again. I've invited you back, and I will invite your opponent back as well, because we're getting closer to Election Day, and this is one of the more important races I think Chicagoans have had a chance to vote on in a very long time. How are you today?
Yes, sir. I'm well, and thank you for having me back, because I agree that this race right here matters to everyone, so having this conversation is great.
You're running for Cook County State's Attorney, and over the weekend, as you well know, John Catanzara, the president of the Chicago Police Union, rather endorsed your opponent, but he said you weren't a bad choice either. Do you want the encouragement of or endorsement of John Catanzara?
Not at all. I think that it's very telling, the endorsements that one receives, because I think that it matters about who puts their trust into people, because we want people to see that they're gravitating towards like-minded individuals. So, no, I do not want that endorsement at all.
Catanzara said that he voted for your opponent, Judge Eileen O'Neill Burke, but she is trying to distance herself from it, too. It's kind of like a negative endorsement. That is, it sounds like, well, he voted for your opponent, which you're happy to hear, is what I'm gathering.
Well, I think it's very telling. When you see the extreme alt-right dollars that are going into her campaign as well, I mean, those are tacit endorsements as well, and I think it should be noted and noticed by everyone. So, yeah, it's interesting.
But his encouragement of her does seem to be on brand, because she is, if I may, and you can react to this, she is regarded as the person who would be harder on crime. What's your reaction to that?
I think it's a lot of pandering and saying what people want to hear at this point in time, whereas I'm telling people, honestly, what we're going to do, we will hold everybody accountable for their actions, but we're going to hold them accountable appropriately. So there's some issues where people want everyone to automatically charge as a felony. And I've been clear that we'll still charge individuals, but it may be as a misdemeanor, but we're going to charge them based on the facts of the allegations, you know, that are in the arrest report. So I'm not going to tell everyone that a blanket that I'm going to charge everyone with a felony or not with a felony. And that's the difference. I'm actually telling people what we're going to do.
You know, the number that people are focusing on sometimes. I mean, how do I as a voter know who's going to be a better state's attorney? Even the candidates can't know what the future will hold. But people understand the difference between 300 and 1,000. Can you just comment a little bit on that?
Absolutely, because therein lies some of the questions right there. Currently, the state's attorney says that they're not prosecuting individuals for retail theft under $1,000 with a felony. I'm going to keep that policy. I'm going to make sure that everyone knows that our threshold, and there's where the emphasis has to be, the threshold for an automatic felony, I will keep at $1,000. But it doesn't mean that someone at $300 won't be charged with a felony. It depends on the facts of the case. And this is where the pandering, I just won't do it. So I'm telling people, if someone comes in and they just steal an item and it's $300 and it's the first time and it's a low-level offense right there, our threshold is not going to be an automatic felony for this individual. Now, so that we're clear, if there's a smash and grab, if there's any kind of smash whatsoever, that's a felony. It doesn't matter how much. So it doesn't matter whether it's $300, $1,000, or $4. We're charging that individual with a felony. If someone takes something from someone's person or there's an assault, that's a felony. Again, it doesn't matter if you breach the $1,000 or $300. We can charge and will charge so that everyone's clear as a felony. That's what I'm saying, and that's what people need to understand, that we still move forward with prosecuting people, but we move forward appropriately. So we're holding everyone accountable.
Right. Okay. And so you're here to tell me that this is a distinction without much of a difference. I wonder then if you wish you had just said, fine, I'll meet you at $300, because it's all going to be the same measure of prosecutions. And I also want you to comment on that, if you will, and also just comment on, I think, what is your attitude, that we don't need to lock up any more young black men than we absolutely need to. And I don't know what the appetite for justice is in this city right now, but I think you need to sort of explain that to us. Do you wish, Clayton, that you had said, okay, fine, I'll prosecute cases under $1,000? That's not a magical threshold. If it's a felony, it's a felony. I wonder if the PR she's getting for $300 is making you rethink that campaign plank of yours.
No, I think that, you know, making it clear on what is going to be a felony and a threshold, and that we hold people accountable appropriately, I think that's the right thing to do. I think that I don't need to pander to folks and say, hey, you know, or imply and let people infer that we're going to charge everyone at $300 as a felony. I just want to make sure that everyone's clear that we still prosecute, but it's more likely going to be a misdemeanor depending on the facts of the case.
I wonder how much authority the state's attorney's office has legally. Let's just start with legally, and then maybe we can talk about the wisdom of it all. But, I mean, can you just throw people in jail for a long time because we're tired of it? How much authority do you have in that regard?
What we do is we charge everyone accountable. We hold everyone accountable, charge them appropriately, and then the finder of fact, either the judge or the jury, comes back with either guilt or innocent, and then at that point in time, assuming guilt, we make a recommendation on sentencing, and then again, it's up to the finder of fact to determine the length of the
sentence. How would you characterize your advice going forward on sentencing then?
I think that we have to look at recidivism, the seriousness of the count, what they're charged with, what they've been found guilty. I think obviously the more violent and heinous crimes deserve longer time, and the more repetition of a crime also deserves recognition in the sentencing recommendation.
But do you believe that sending a young man to jail for a long time for a first-time offense or for a crime that isn't a serious felony is going to more likely criminalize him? Should we go easier on those kids if they haven't done that much wrong? What's your talk to me about that, Clayton?
Sure. I think we still hold everyone accountable appropriately. So when we talk about, you say kid, I want to make sure that we're talking about a juvenile, and we treat juveniles as juveniles. You can still hold them accountable on what's going on, no matter what the case is, as you approach it, understanding that they are juveniles, and then that the punishment or the sentencing takes that into account. That helps for the appropriateness. Again, it will come back down to the facts of the case on what we will recommend for sentencing.
Do you think there's much to penalizing the parents for the crimes the kids commit? Is there a path that way, and would that do much good?
I think that we should hold some parents culpable for the actions of their children. I think that it is appropriate, or where appropriate, we should move forward. And I do think that that would start to curb some behavior when there's more accountability inside of the house. We want to make sure we're not criminalizing someone who's doing the best that they can as they're raising their children. But such as incidents like the Highland Park shooter, you know, when you had an individual say that they wanted to do people harm, and then the adult provided a vehicle in which this person could commit the harm, I think it's absolutely appropriate to hold the parent accountable as well. And we'll look at these types of incidents and allegations, and we will move forward on charging all parties culpable, but all parties that are culpable.
One last question from a listener says, how will you interact with CPD? Many alleged criminals are released for various reasons, including not enough evidence. They need to work harder to get the evidence to convict. Okay, that's just an editorial comment from one of our listeners. Maybe there's some truth to that, but how will you interact with CPD?
I've stated that we have to rework our relationship with law enforcement, both locally and federally, to ensure that we're doing everything possible to ensure safety and justice. I mean, that's my platform. In order for us to move forward and for the communities to know that we're focusing on their safety, we have to be able to work with law enforcement. So we have to keep the bright line between the state's attorney and law enforcement, because the state's attorney is the one who has to hold law enforcement accountable for their actions as well.
Yeah.
But if we're not communicating and collaborating, we're not going to be able to focus on the safety of our communities. So we have to do this. And I've met with CPD, I've met with the suburban police forces as well, and they know that they have someone who is going to work with them.
Do you like the shot spotter? Should Chicago keep that or get rid of that?
I think, you know, that this is definitely an issue between the mayor and the superintendent. What I hope is if they're getting rid of shot spotter, that they have a technology that is better than the one that they're replacing, because we should use all the tools in our toolbox.
I haven't heard what that is. I don't know about that. Do you? Have you heard of some other shot spotter technology? Over the weekend, there was a shooting that took place. The cops were able to get on the scene because of shot spotter. There was a guy inside barricaded. There was a standoff. He was eventually caught. Shot spotter led to his arrest. I haven't heard about. Okay, so that's why shot spotter can work. Obviously, we're going to get rid of it after the Democratic National Convention. But do you know of anything else coming down the line?
I haven't heard of anything yet.
All right. You sure you want this job, Clayton? Because every time there's a shooting, every time there's a smash and grab, every time a kid does a donut at 2 a.m., that's going to be your headache. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do. To answer the question, I absolutely want this job because of that. You want someone, I believe everybody wants someone in there that has the legal know-how and the chops, and, you know, I have that. But you also want someone who's going to be able to lead and manage this office so that when these crimes occur, we can bring them in, we'll work with law enforcement, we'll work with our elected officials and community advocates to not only address the issue of the moment, but to also get to the problems that's creating or causing all of this. And I am up for this task and excited about doing it. I live in a neighborhood where we hear gunshots and more people are starting to live in neighborhoods and workplaces. So I refuse to leave. I'm ready to work and to make sure that we focus on our community safety, but not give up any justice while we're doing it.
Clayton Harris III, candidate for Cook County State's Attorney. Good luck to you, Clayton. Thanks for visiting with us again.
Thank you, my friend.